Hello and welcome to week 31 of the Read Together podcast. My name is John Fleischauer and I serve as the senior pastor of Hardwick Memorial United Methodist Church in Tuscaloosa. I'm the executive pastor at the Wesley Foundation at the University of Alabama, and I serve on the conference staff in the Connectional Ministries Office. And I'm so thankful for this opportunity to share a little bit with you as we continue in our Read Together journey this year that I know has been just such a blessing to me, as I hope it has been for you. Thank you especially to Lynn Cosby and to the Adult Discipleship team for all their work in putting this together for 2 years running now. I'm so excited about this week's scriptures, where we see just such a variety, but I'm particularly excited to be able to share a little bit during this week as we are getting into John's Gospel. I've always loved John's Gospel, and not just because it has such a great name, but I just love so much of what the evangelist John says about who Jesus was and the ways that he really helps us to think about who Jesus was as the Word made flesh, which is what we're actually going to talk a little bit about today. And so I want us to focus on John chapter 1, verse 14, which says that the Word became flesh and made his home among us. We have seen his glory, glory like that of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. And it's from this verse that we get the idea of the incarnation, of literally God dwelling among us. And this is a word that we've maybe heard in a sermon or a Bible study at some point. For the pastors among us, maybe we've heard it in course of study or in seminary. But we talk a lot about this idea of the incarnation and of incarnational ministry. But sometimes I don't know that we really fully think through what that actually means for us today and for our ministry. But I think the best example we see of this is in Jesus' life, as we see in all four Gospels. Because I don't know about you, but for me, it's sometimes easy to lose sight of the fact that despite being a great teacher and healer and prophet, Jesus was also a pretty great friend. And we see a couple of instances of this with the disciples, certainly, but also with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus always stick out for me as examples of the relationships that Jesus had that were certainly part of his ministry, but that were truly personal relationships for him. These were people that he wanted to be around. He liked being around them. And even though we don't necessarily see these completely described in scripture, we can easily imagine what some of these interactions looked like. I love that what gets translated here as the Word became flesh and dwelt among us can also be translated as he pitched his tent among us. And it's not hard for us to imagine Jesus being out walking through through the area with the disciples and stopping for the night and pitching a tent. And, you know, after they'd gotten settled in, maybe building a campfire and sitting around and just talking about the day and what they had experienced. Or maybe thinking about Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, maybe they have stopped over in Bethany for the night. And after dinner, they're sitting around with some snacks and some drinks, and they're just catching up on how life has been since they last saw one another. And we can imagine how important this was for Jesus and for his ministry. But even outside of these relationships, we see how he cares deeply about those around him, not just as people that, you know, need to be saved or need to hear the gospel, but as people that he truly cares about and cares about the whole person. I think it's so interesting that this idea of him pitching his tent among us is actually an allusion to the tabernacle that we find in the Old Testament, which was the precursor to the temple, you may remember. And it's where, as the Israelites were wandering through the desert, it's where God's presence was strongest. It's where Moses and Aaron would go to actually meet with God and to seek wisdom and guidance and to worship and to offer sacrifices on behalf of the people. And what John is saying here is he's making this shift from meeting God at the temple or at the tabernacle to meeting God in the person of Jesus Christ. And while this is really, really important, I think it also tells us about what we are called to do as the people of God and what our ministry, what our incarnational ministry is supposed to look like even today. And so part of my ministry, like I mentioned, is that I'm one of the pastors at the Wesley Foundation at Alabama. And we see this so much in campus ministry where, you know, it doesn't matter how well we preach or teach or what kind of Bible studies we lead or whatever the case may be. so often the most meaningful relationships and conversations happen with students where they come after hours of just walking across the street to the dining hall to get lunch, or stopping at Starbucks for coffee, or watching movies on a Friday night, or playing Frisbee games on the quad, or just generally hanging out and being in the lives of students. And it's after hours of those that we can really get into some of those deep questions that students have about who they are, about who God is, about what God is calling them to do with their lives. But those only happen in the context of those relationships that are built after this time together. Because incarnational ministry means making that investment in people. It means putting that time and that effort in to really and truly gain to know them. We sometimes talk about about how ministry should at its best mean seeing people as people and not as projects. And that's so true here, because we want to truly get to know people and to care about them in the same way that Jesus cares about us. Not because we're trying to win them over or anything, but because we love them and we care about them. And we believe that God has so much more in store for them. And so we see this in campus ministry, but it's not limited to campus ministry. It can be found in whatever relationships we have in our churches, in our workplaces, even in our families, where we're able to really embody this idea of incarnational ministry. And the good news is that this is going to look a little bit different for all of us. What I love so much about this is that incarnational ministry for me looks different than it does for you. I can reach people that you can't, and you can reach people that I can't. And that is a wonderful, beautiful thing, because we all have different interests. We all have different abilities to connect with people. We all have different backgrounds that maybe make us better able to connect with some people than with others. And that's part of what it means to be the body of Christ, is to truly be incarnational and to reach the people that we can reach best, and hope and work towards helping others to connect with those that can reach them. And so as I've thought about this, and as I've been, reading over this week's scripture in preparation for this podcast, it's struck me that it's easy for us as Christians generally, but I think especially for those of us who are pastors, to kind of disengage and to maybe go and hide in our study and to spend our time in scripture and in commentaries and in study, which those are all important things to be certain. But that's not what Jesus did, and that's not what we're called to do. Because Jesus recognized in his own life and in his own ministry that it was going to be most effective when he actually got out and dwelt among the people. And so I want to challenge us this week to ask the question, how can I be incarnational? How can I make these connections? How can I connect with those around me? And how can I really, truly form these relationships that allow me to be effective and to reflect this light of Christ in the world around me? Maybe it's as simple as setting up that Zoom call or that socially distanced lunch or coffee with someone that has been on your heart recently. Maybe it's finding organizations in the community that, especially right now, are serving those who are maybe at risk, or maybe those who are particularly struggling during this season. But whatever it is, I want to encourage us to find ways to develop those relationships with others where we can model the same love for them that Jesus models for us. Would you pray with me? Gracious God, we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. And we thank you especially for the ways that Christ models incarnational ministry for us. We thank you that Christ is the one who is the Word made flesh and who dwells among us. And we ask that as we go into this week, as we reflect on these scriptures, that you would continue to speak to us, that you would continue to show us what it looks like to be incarnational, what it truly means to look like to care about and love those around us just as you love us, so that they may see Christ in us and at work in us, in all that we do. God, we love you and we give you thanks. Would you go with us now? It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.